Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
A very warm welcome to the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin on the ones and twos.
All right, how's it going?
Don't know why I said that, like you're off to Iron Appa tomorrow.
DJ VJ, that's right.
DJ VJ, is that what you call yourself on the road?
I'm sort of sick at myself now.
This is the Evening Show podcast, and it's jam-packed. Gary Lightbody from the Snow Patrols is on the Evening Show podcast. That's twice you've met him now, Vin. He does have quite an authoritarian-style delivery to his speech, doesn't he?
Absolutely, and he's taller than I thought as well.
He's a very tall man, yeah.
Yeah, he's quite imposing.
Gangly footballer, all elbows and knees. He's a good form, though, Gary Lightbody, because he has got a new album that's doing very well at the moment, and
Wildness.
The gigs that he's been playing over in West of Ireland looked sensational as well.
Yeah, well, we played a few tracks out in the show, didn't we?
Yeah,
so you can always listen again if you're listening in time on the podcast.
Classic album as well this week was from Feeder, Comfort and Sound from 2002, another album 16 years old, which makes me feel very old indeed. So if you want to hear a bit more about that album from 16 years ago and reminisce about what you were doing in 2002, then have a little listen to that. All the other nonsense that you would expect from us on the Evening Show podcast, that's all right here, right now, for your delectation. Do you like that word, Vin?
It sounded like Fatboy Slim.
Right. And then a little bit of Eurovision.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Snow Patrol, Don't Give In on Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. This is the Evening Show. And the great man, Gary Lightbody, is present and correct. He is here in the studio. Hello, Gary.
Hi, Gordon. How's it going?
I'm really good. It's great to see you, sir.
See you too.
That song sounds very nerve-wracking to me because you open it on your vocal. And it's quite a high note. Does that put you under a little bit of pressure live?
A little bit. I didn't know when I was singing it originally in the studio. I didn't really think about having to sing it every night for now for the rest of my life. So it is kind of nerve wracking to be the first. I don't think we have any other songs that start with a vocal. I don't think we do.
It's a bit of pressure there. Bit of pressure.
A little bit.
I've been really enjoying, Gary, watching the footage from Ireland, the tour that you've just done over there. Looks like you're having the time of your life.
Yeah.
If you are going to do sort of a football style post-match analysis, summarising the tour so far, how would you rate it and who's the star man?
Well, star man... Well, I think the star performers have been the audiences, really. I mean, they've been absolutely amazing. Excuse me. Belfast, the last show in Belfast was extraordinary. The first show in Londonderry was immense as well. And
homecoming gigs as well.
Yeah, really. we had some great shows in Republic of Ireland as well. Cork and Dublin stand out, but they were all great. Wexford was great. The really, really great shows, and it was really fun to play, do a sort of a more extensive tour of Ireland, you know, that we haven't really done in a long time.
Cork Opera House is a great venue as well.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
Bruce Springsteen played there not that long ago, and I remember him talking about it, saying what an amazing experience. And I heard that the Irish audience, more than anybody else in the world, sing back guitar parts to you as well.
They sing back the guitar parts like nobody's business. And, you know, I think Dublin was the loudest guitar part singing that night. Well, especially Chocolate, the song Chocolate. That bit comes... It's as loud as people singing the words of Chasing Cars. It's epic.
It's things that you know when you're home. So Irish audiences singing guitar parts and people clapping when the plane lands. You know you're back in Ireland or Scotland. Now, Gary, I've got to tell you something slightly embarrassing about producer Vin here, right? And this is quite important for you to know. When Vin was 13, he did a presentation at school about Final Straw. He said it was the greatest album ever made. And one of the lines from his presentation was, "How to Be Dead is an astonishing, honest song. There are moments of beauty like Somewhere a Clock is Ticking, huge hits like Run, and a gritty, rough songs like Tiny Little Fractures." You've written an album that 13-year-old kids are doing presentations on. When you were writing it, did you ever imagine that that would happen?
I didn't think there was going to be any presentations on it, no. thank you for that. That's lovely. Yeah. You know what, because in the run-up to this, people say, do you listen to your own stuff? And I don't tend to, but I've been listening to old albums just to sort of acquaint myself with them and the sound of them more than anything, more than the songs. I know the songs, but the sound of those records, just to see comparatively where it fits in, where Wildness fits into everything. And Final Straw really holds up. Actually, I really feel like it's one of our finest records. You know, still, you know, it's a brave age now, but 2003 it was, so
15 years old. Imagine
yeah.
it as a human. I always talk about this, but imagine that album as a human being. You've got a teenager.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably like a really sort of like snotty teenager as well. Like one you just can't make do anything. Like, it's not going to tidy its room, that's for sure.
It's funny you mention that, because there are people you meet in life who you can always remember or imagine when they were with their kids, and you're one of those people. I can just see you as a school child for some reason. What kind of lad were you, Gary, when you were growing up? Paint a picture of us for us.
I was very shy. I'm very sensitive. Very moody.
Right.
I wrote poetry from my early teenage years, so you can sort of imagine. I was kind of. I wasn't like an outcast in sort of a social outcast in school. I had plenty of friends, and I played a lot of sport, so that helped a lot. You know.
Yeah.
I think if you were just, you know, like the poets that, you know, that are just poets,
yeah, yeah,
might find school hard, but the people that play sport tend to find it a little bit easier, and I did, but I still felt kind of isolated as a kid. I think growing up in Northern Ireland, you know, I didn't really understand what was going on in the country at that age, at that time, and you know, I could not be happier with the way things have turned out in Northern Ireland, with, you know, with having peace for such a long time, and, you know, goodness knows, let's hope that peace endures for a long, long time. But as a kid, I didn't understand it, so it just made me feel even more isolated, I think.
Are there still boxes somewhere of Gary Lightbody poetry?
Yes, there are.
Aha.
And they should get a Viking funeral very soon.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Belfast. I spent a lot of time there in the last few years, and it's a brilliant place to go now. It really feels like a safe place to be. It's a great atmosphere. It's a wonderful night out. And going back and playing there over the last few weeks, it must have been quite exhilarating for you to be on home turf and to play in a completely different country than it maybe was even 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I moved back home 10 years ago, and I've sort of been living there on and off for the last 10 years, and I've spent a lot of time in America as well. But it's, I mean, the change is amazing, and the cultural change in Northern Ireland has been an amazing shift and an amazing thing to watch, because there's so many bands, so many films, so many so much art being made in Northern Ireland. Yeah. That, you know, it's kind of thrilling. We're punching way above our weight. And speaking of punching way above our weight, our boxes are awesome as well.
They are.
Yeah.
Actually, Frampton, just to start off.
Well, Frampton, oh, you know, Paddy Barnes, yep. Michael Conlon, you know, I mean, we have some world-class boxers, you know, and that's, yeah, and athletes, and, you know, men, male and female athletes of many different sports, you know what I mean? So it's a really thriving place at the moment.
And Michael O'Neill, but that's for another time. Right, Gary, well,
yeah, we could talk Michael O'Neill till the cows come
home. Another show, isn't it? It's another show.
Radio. Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Snow Patrol and Spitting Games on Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. This is the evening show. You can watch this on Facebook Live this evening if you want to see two pasty men, one from Northern Ireland, one from Scotland, in a studio under bright lights, suffering. Gary Lightbody is here. All right, Gary. He is looking very well.
I'm still reeling from, he listened to the end of Spitting Games there, and that was recorded in the very end of that was recorded in a stairwell.
I was going to say, it sounds like in a bathroom or something.
And it was just me playing a guitar, but I didn't really know that I was being recorded at the time, and we never did another one, and it's so out of tune.
That's character.
There we are. Yes, character. That's good. Good save.
Now, Gary Lightbody, in 3 hours, 45 minutes, your seventh album is given to the world. It's handed over. Mm. Can you articulate the emotions you're feeling right now? And, is it excitement, trepidation? Can you remember what this moment feels like?
No, I can't remember how I felt the last time we released an album. You said last time we released an album, we were going from album tour. So it was just part of the process. It was part of the rhythm, I guess, and now that we've been out of that rhythm for such a long time, it feels like almost like a debut, a second debut record,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so yes, there's a tiny bit of nerves, mostly just excitement. I'm so delighted that it's coming out, because it took such a long time to get done. Just the virtue of it coming out at all is amazing to me.
How do you mark the occasion when it turns midnight? Is there anything you will do?
No, I mean, you see, this is the thing. This is what happened when we finished the album. Because I'd given up drinking, and Garrett, Jackknife, had not been drinking for about 7 years. So the two of us were sitting in the studio and we're like, so we're done? Right, so what do we do? Will we have a cup of tea or should we hug or something? It just felt like, because normally we'd go out and like paint the town red for a day or two maybe, and then this time around it was like, well, I don't know, I guess we'll see you next time or something.
A formal handshake.
So this is kind of what it feels like as well when the record comes out. There's, you know, celebrating. I don't know how to celebrate without drinking. I'm up for, if anybody wants to send in their advice for celebrating without drinking, I'm up for discovering new ways.
We need to come up with something. I'll tell you what you could do. Well, I can tell people what you're going to do tonight. You will be on with John Kennedy to do a full album playback.
Yes.
Picking the album apart with the great man, John Kennedy, the most trusted man in music, we call him here.
He's a lovely man. Looking forward to that.
He's a great human being. So that's on after this show tonight. And there's more from Gary in just a second. And he has brought his guitar as well. Are you taking requests, Gary?
Yes. Yes, why not? I'll play one for you.
I'll have Sunshine on Leith again, please.
Hey.
Right, more from Gary Lightbody in just a second on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Today is a really important day, and I'm asking you to cast your minds back to a sad night in the history of the Manchester Arena exactly 12 months ago today. We wanted to pay tribute to the victims of the terrible tragedy last year, so I thought I'd go back to one of the clips from one of the great artists from Manchester I spoke to earlier on this year. I had New Order's Peter Hook, a Salford man who was touched by the tragedy, and he spoke to me on the evening show about how it affected his life. On a really serious note, we had Arcade Fire on the show this year, and they played Love Will Tear Us Apart at the Old Trafford Cricket Ground as a sort of tribute to what had happened in Manchester last year. Mm-hmm. And it was a really, really emotional, moving thing. And I understand your daughter was at the Ariana Grande concert.
Yes, she was.
Concert,
yeah.
Which is almost a year ago now.
Yes.
I mean, that must have been horrific for
a man. I've never taken a phone call like that, right. And I hope I never will ever again. I mean, she was very lucky in that she stayed for the encore.
Yeah.
And if she hadn't, if Ariana Grande hadn't have done that encore, they reckon that 2,000 more people would have been injured, if not killed. Yeah. So the fact that Ariana did it as a tribute to Manchester just about says it all to me. Yeah. But it was the most horrible thing I've ever been through.
The reopening of the Manchester Arena, we went up for it that night, and it was incredible to see how Manchester rallied around and how music played a big part in it as well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is my brother's a policeman,
right.
And he's in charge of the contingencies, and he planned all that response to that atrocity. So I was very, very proud of him for that. Paul, yeah. Well done.
It's amazing how your music can play a part in healing a city as well. That must make you proud too.
I'm immensely proud of that as well. But, you know, I went to the concert afterwards that Ariana did, and, you know, you feel so much for anything that you'd have to bear for the rest of your life with that. And my daughter's still troubled now, you know, and she was one of the lucky ones. She was injured getting out, but she was definitely one of the lucky ones, as were we as parents.
That was New Order's Peter Hook talking to me about the tragedy in Manchester last year. On that note, Peter Kay reopened the Manchester Arena last year. I was there that night to see Blossoms, the Coral Curtainers, and of course Noel putting on a very special gig to mark that really moving occasion. So here is Peter Kay, the amazing comedian and a former employee at the Manchester Arena, paying his tribute and introducing Noel on stage.
I first got a job working at the Manchester Arena in 1995, as a steward, I went to Fountain Street Job Centre and got an application form, and I came here. I had gone on a two-day training course at Free Trade Hall, and I worked here for 4 years, and I was here on the opening night, 16th of July, 1995, I was working £4.10 an hour. Torval and Dean it were. So it's an absolute honour to be here tonight for the reopening. There's been a lot of joy in this room over the years, including the night of the 22nd of May. Right up until the terrorist attack. These last 4 months have been incredibly painful. Horrendous is putting it mildly. But that's why you're here. Because we can't let terrorists win. We've got to remember the good times and let them outweigh the bad. The victims will never, ever be forgotten. But we've got to move forward with love and not hate, and that's how we win. So thank you very much for coming, everybody. Right then, it's time for your top of the bill. It's Mr. Manchester himself. All the way from London. Would you please welcome Noel Gallagher and his High Flying Birds.
That was Peter Kay at the We Are Manchester gig last summer. So here is Noel playing the song that became an anthem for everyone touched by the tragedy in Manchester this time last year. Here he is, Noel Gallagher at the Manchester Arena last summer. This is Don't Look Back in Anger.
If anybody ever doubted, and some people do, that Manchester is the greatest city in England, I was sat home watching Sky News, watching the minute silence after what happened here. And during that silence, one girl broke the silence and started to sing. And it's amazing that everybody rallied around the song that I'm going to play now. And it's become some sort of anthem for defiance, I think. And every time you sing, we win. So sing how you've never sang before.
Thank you.
Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Gary Lightbody is here, and later on he'll be with John Kennedy doing a full album playback, taking that album apart piece by piece, analysing.
Indeed.
Now, Gary, lovely to see you. It's great to have you here. We're just talking about how you're going to celebrate the album coming out at midnight tonight. Wildness is out, and we've had a message here from Frances Sarah Allen. She says, Gary, drink kombucha, a fab alternative to alcohol, and you get the same buzz.
Oh, right, okay.
I didn't know about it.
Well, I know kombucha has something to do with cabbage. I think it's fermented cabbage. You get that kind of a probiotic kind of vibe from it. But I don't drink it. So instead of talking about it, maybe I should put it in my, you know, like drink it, and we'll see what happens.
You can keep your fermented cabbage, Gary.
Yeah, I think so. I could be wrong about that, but I'm sure that Frances, was that her name? I'm sure she'll let me know.
Now, we are live on Facebook at the moment, so if you're watching, you can see Gary is carrying a beautiful acoustic guitar. And it looks like a Northern Irish guitar to me, Gary. It's a Loudon, isn't it?
It's a Loudon, yes. The mighty George Loudon makes the most extraordinary acoustic guitars, and I swear by them.
That is the barometer of success in music, I think, when you get instruments made for you by people like that.
Yes, George has made me a few guitars. He is a legend. Yes. And, we're very grateful to him.
He's a good man, a great Northern Ironer. Now, Gary, something I've always wanted to ask you. What was the first song you learned to play on a guitar?
The first song I ever learned to play on a guitar? I'm not 100% sure, because I picked up the guitar originally to try and play, because I was listening to heavy metal.
Yeah.
I got a guitar when I was 11, listening to Metallica, Anthrax, Zentrix, Iron Maiden. And, you know, all those bands. You know, immediately when you pick up the guitar and you're listening to those bands, you want to lead solo. You want to just go... Yeah. And when that doesn't happen... Oh, well, certainly when it didn't happen for me, immediately I went, well, the guitar goes in the back of the cupboard. And then it didn't get brought out again until...
Yes! I was like Teen Spirit.
You know, so I think that was probably the first song that I learned to play the whole way through.
Yep.
Where, you know, like I felt like some kind of triumph about, you know, like somebody had sort of shown me a way into music. You know, Kurt Cobain, you know, simplified everything for me.
It's funny you say that, because we were having this discussion before you came in tonight, and I said I remember being at terrible parties at the beginning of the 90s, and everybody was playing Smells Like Teen Spirit or Under the Bridge by Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yep. Every single party. But yeah, what a great song to have as your first.
Yeah, I think that was probably the first one I learned.
One of the last time you came in, we had a chat about James Corden's wedding. And I've been racking my brain since, because I remember you playing an impromptu second gig that night and songs that were on your set list as a wedding singer. And the only one I can remember is Proclaimers, 500 Miles. You did that. You did that, and I sang it very badly with some other people as well. Do you remember that?
I remember being on stage. I just don't remember what happened when I was on there. I think it was 3 or 4 in the morning at that point.
It was very late.
Yeah, so it wasn't no offence to you, good sir, and your singing, I'm sure it was fantastic, but it wasn't the best gig that I've ever done, I don't think.
You would have remembered it. Yeah. But it did get me thinking about, I remember somebody who worked with your band told me that you were always being asked to sort of, punters were always asking if they could do proposals on stage, so ask their partner to marry them on stage. You must get some really unusual requests because you've got so many songs that matter to people on big occasions.
Yes, we. Yeah, I mean, we've had a few of those. I actually got a request from via somebody else, from Stephen Fry.
Oh wow!
He asked. He got a request on Twitter. If we were playing Birmingham, I think, the night before we played the gig, Stephen Fry sent a text via somebody else and said, "This person has asked if you can propose for him on stage before you play Run." I think it was, and then. And he's going to, you know, pop the question in the crowd. I think it went well. If Stephen Fry asked me, and, you know, if Stephen Fry asked me to, you know, put my hand in the fire, I would definitely do it. So I did. But, yeah, hopefully that proposal went well. And they're still together.
Yeah. In the spirit of wedding singers, may I ask for a request, as you've brought your acoustic guitar?
Yes.
One of my favourite Snow Patrol songs, Set Fire to the Third Bar with Martha Wainwright. Now, I'm not offering my services as a backing up as the Martha part this evening. You'll be pleased to hear, but would you do that for us tonight?
Well, we have a surprise here tonight, Gordon. Martha's flown in from New York. No, it's just me, unfortunately. But yeah, I can do that.
Fantastic. This is Gary Lightbody from Snow Patrol. This is Set Fire to the Third Bar.
Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The World Cup is coming up. Can you give me a World Cup prediction? And the second part of that is, who is your second team?
Well, you know, Northern Ireland are my first team, so so I think Man United are my second team in a way. I, you know, I'm a big fan of Dundee as well. So, but I mean, you know, I lived in Dundee went to university in Dundee, yeah. So I have a lot of affection for the place. But as far as the World Cup goes. You know, I think we might be staring down the barrel of another Germany repeat, you know, but yep. But you know, Belgium are really, really good side, and they're sort of smashing the goals in their qualifying, they've such a wealth of talent in that side, De Bruyne and Hazard and Lukaku, and you know, like all Anderweireld, all those guys,
easy names to say.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I'd give Germany my probably, you know, gonna win it. Belgium the sleeper hit.
There you have it. Lightbody's bookies. Go and get your money on Belgium right now. It's not his responsibility.
I'm going to put money on Belgium.
I know. I've done this for the last 8 years and it hasn't looked after me.
I bet on Germany last time and I won.
Did you do well?
Yeah. Nah, well, I mean, you know, the odds weren't massive, but, you know. Yeah.
Lightbody's bookies. Yeah. Number one for tips in football. Right, more from Gary Lightbody in just a second on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
So Monday night means classic album chat, and tonight we're going to go back 16 years to the 21st of October 2002. Well, nearly 16 years old. Feeders, Comfort and Sound. There's a reason we're doing this tonight. Me and producer Vin have been reminiscent about festival season. We always do it around this time of year when you've got Weekender coming up. All sorts of great festivals lined up. And we went to Portsmouth to Victorious for the first time last year, and we went to see Feeder. We would not normally go and see Feeder, probably me and Vin together, but we did and recognised almost every song that they played on stage. It's a beautiful sunny day. As they were on stage, we watched the hovercraft pull in beside us. It's an amazing sight, and it was a really lovely soundtrack to an afternoon at a festival. So we thought we'd go back those 16 years to Comfort in Sound. It's double platinum, sold the best part of 600,000, and it stayed in the charts for 36 weeks, which is no mean feat. The tracks on it include Just the Way I'm Feeling, Come Back Around, Comfort and Sound, Forget About Tomorrow, and Find the Colour. It won Best Album at the 2003 QMag Awards, and it was the first album to be released. A really sad story. It was just after the suicide of their drummer, John Lee. So it does have a darker sound than the older Feeder. Not quite as brash or as heavy as Echo Park, which came before, but it was full of melancholy. Feeder had a producer on it called Gil Norton, who had worked with Pixies, Echo and the Bunnymen and Echo Belly, and probably the perfect man to catch them at that point in their lives. So Feeder's promo for the album was really low key given what had just happened with their drummer John Lee, but they did loads of interviews and held back quite a lot. So singer Grant, who you might have seen, he's a big character, a great frontman, he rewrote the lyrics to Come Back Around to reference their drummer John. But there are some really uplifting moments as well. Find the Colour, really optimistic sing-along, and there are some lush strings and Forget About Tomorrow and Just the Way I'm Feeling, which which are brilliant tracks. So Comfort and Sound, that was the last single to be released, and this really does put it at a moment in time. It was available as a download from Feederweb. You couldn't get it as a CD, you couldn't get it anywhere else. It was one of the first real digital downloads that was a big success. So, classic album chat tonight, two songs back to back from Comfort and Sound, and two brilliant Feeder songs, Just the Way I'm Feeling and Come Back Around.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week. X.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
So there you have it, two songs from our classic album tonight, Feeder's Comfort and Sound, which will be 16 years old in October this year. You just heard Come Back Around, that was their first single, and the video featured four drummers as a lovely tribute to their late drummer, John Lee. The band also have a song of the same name, which is a B-side on 2004's Picture of a Perfect Youth. The first song I played was Just the Way I'm Feeling, you know it very, very well. Released as a single the year after the album, and it pushed the album up to number 13 in the charts. One of the B-sides was a cover of Frankie Goes to Hollywood's The Power of Love. Have a listen to this. Pretty good stuff, isn't it? So much on their minds at that time. The melancholy of the album was reflected by the album artwork. Do you remember it? Use the lyrics from each song. Remember that eerie winged woman, that creature on the front cover? It really was a special bit of artwork. So that was tonight's classic album, Feeder and Comfort and Sound.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Gary Lightbody's joined us all the way from Northern Ireland and LA now as well, because you live in a beautiful place full of beautiful people, Gary.
Well, I moved back to Bangor, actually, but yeah, I was living in LA for a wee bit.
What was it? Is it like Stella Street there? Are you always bumping into famous faces when you're there?
Well, bumping in makes it seem like we all know each other, and when we sort of meet each other, we go. And not that I'm saying I'm famous, but when I went to, I did have a starstruck moment one time. I was in eating in a restaurant, and Larry David walked in.
Oh wow! Curb Your Enthusiasm's Larry David.
And I wasn't the only one that was having, because in LA nobody really pays attention to anybody. You know, could be famous, could be anybody, could walk into the place. But not Larry David.
Yeah.
Every single eye was, I was looking around the room and everybody was looking at him. But in that way that you're sort of pretending that you're eating, but you're actually you're checking him out.
So you didn't get a chance to behave very awkwardly around Larry David, enough.
No, that would have been life and art meeting.
Yeah.
But I didn't actually go over and say hello. But then again, I tend not to when somebody's eating.
Gary David. Yeah. Gary, I like to apologise to you every time I see you, because I remember something else embarrassing that I've done in your company. But I feel terrible because I was once really late for an interview, and you sat patiently waited for me, gave me about an hour and a half to talk about, I think, maybe your fourth album, I think, at the time. And I'm very grateful for that. And the tape recorder I used didn't work. So you then had to sit through another tedious half an hour of me asking the same questions. So sorry, Gary, and thank you very much for your patience.
That's totally fine. It's totally fine. I still love you, mate. It's all right.
God, I just needed to get that sorted out. I've got a closure on it. The one thing I always remember, though, Gary, every time I saw you, whether it was having a game of football, whether it was interviewing you, you always went from that moment to a record shop and spent money on vinyl. Have you still got the same terrible habit?
Yes.
It's costing you a fortune.
Vinyl is I think it's one of the better addictions.
Yeah.
I'm still devoted to, yeah. And when we're on the move, we don't get to listen to vinyl as much as we'd like to, but still buy a lot of it.
I apologise, but I've also got to say thanks, because you introduced me to Scott Matthews many years ago, a brilliant musician.
Yeah.
Anything you can tip us off about that we should be getting our ears around here at Radio X?
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty. There's a great band. Well, actually, we should big up the band that we just toured with, Brand New Friend from Northern Ireland.
Yep.
They're a phenomenal band. There's another great band called Jealous of the Birds from Northern Ireland as well. So there's two Northern Ireland acts there for you.
Fantastic. I just wanted to hear you say Northern Ireland. And just do one. Can you just say Power Shower one more time for me?
Power Shower. I'll have a Power Shower about an hour and get in a car.
I love this, man. I'll give you one back. Purple Burger Van for the girl. It's been a murder at the Purple Burger Van. Now, Gary, you are going to talk to John Kennedy in a little while about the new album. But one man who's played a huge part in Wildness is Peter Gabriel. And we're going to play a song from him in a second that you've asked for, you've requested it tonight. Can you explain the inspiration and the part he's played in this album?
Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, listening to Peter Gabriel for, you know, since I was a kid, but I, but Garrett, and so he just sort of been part of, you know, our lives, our musical life, and it's, perhaps in a, not exactly in the background, but, you know, he's in part of our DNA, but not really at the forefront of our imaginations. And then Garrett started playing his albums in between, in any downtime we had, which was a lot on this record because I had a lot of writer's block. yeah. We'd play records, and a lot of Peter Gabriel got played, and that expansive, rhythmic, you know, phenomenal melody, phenomenal lyrics, you know, like the space in those records is extraordinary. You know, the things he doesn't play are as important as the things he does, you know, and that those are so such deliberate choices, and you know, leaves some of it up to the listener's imagination, and that's maybe something that we hadn't done mm-hmm. so much in the past, and we were filling every sonic yeah. gap with noise. So this record has a hell of a lot more space on it, and you know, Peter Gabriel was a big part of that. You know, listening to his records, he didn't come in the studio, unfortunately, but okay. you know, we were listening to his records.
Have you met him?
No,
you haven't. Would you like to meet him?
Yes.
And how has your experience been meeting your heroes in the past?
Some great, some not so great. U2, I'll talk about the great ones, but playing with U2 was amazing because you know, they're right from the top down, right from the band down, you know, all the way through their crew, they are, you know, everybody on that tour is amazing, and it's lovely, and it really is like going into this gigantic family where there are no you know, no negative people in there. Everyone's yeah. really happy to see you all the time, and you really feel like you're welcomed yeah. into the sort of family while you're on tour with them, and that's a really sort of positive experience. We toured with them the first time in 2005, and then we did again in 2009, 2010, 2011. So we've had a lot of experiences with them that have been really good and positive. And you know, you go on some tours with some bands, we've had a lot of good experiences. Spring to mind, Athletes. We supported Athletes, we supported Travis, we supported Supergrass, and you know, and many others besides. But those three spring to mind as, you know, three very welcoming bands that, you know, we loved a bit. And then some others that, you know, you walk onto the tour and you feel like you're not welcome.
Yeah.
So it's very, very, it sinks in deep to our soul, that type of kindness when you are welcomed onto a tour. And that's, so those bands that I mentioned were, they'll always be in our hearts, and they'll always be legends. They'll be in the Snow Patrol Hall of Fame for sure.
Fantastic. It was such a magical time that, I think it was the 360 tour.
Yeah.
Two of the best nights of my life. I think you were there as well. What a cracking time with
yeah,
you two.
That tour was amazing.
Now, Gary, would you like to introduce the Peter Gabriel track that you've chosen this evening?
Yes, it's from us. It's called Come Talk to Me. It's the first track on there. There's a plethora of tracks to pick from that. Digging in the Dirt, I thought maybe would be a good one as well. But this track symbolizes an awful lot of the shift in me in this record, which is talking about the stuff that was going on in my brain. And that's what changed the dynamic in me, in the band, and everything, and turned everything great.
Superb. This is Peter Gabriel, Come Talk to Me, as chosen by Gary Lightbody.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Peter Gabriel, Come Talk to Me. Now, there's an Northern Irishman in the studio and a Scotsman, and we've played a song with bagpipes on it. So let's just tick all those stereotype boxes, Gary.
Awesome.
There's Gary Lightbody right across from me right now. He's got a new album coming out in 3 hours' time. It's an exciting evening for the Snow Patrol Boys. Seventh yes. album. How are the rest of the lads? Should have asked that, shouldn't I?
Yeah, they're great. They're great. I was just with Nathan and Johnny McDade there, and Johnny Quinn and Pablo are... Johnny's in London, Pablo's up in Scotland at the moment.
Fantastic.
So we'll see them all tomorrow.
A great bunch of lads. Why haven't you split this work five ways and got them to do a little bit of it?
Oh, no, they're doing stuff as well.
All right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, they're not just sitting resting on the laurels.
Ah, but we got the headliner tonight, didn't we? Yes! Now, Gary, very exciting time ahead for you, but later on in the show, we're going to play three tracks from the Irish tour you've just done, one of them from the Cork Opera House, which is a phenomenal venue. The last time I was in County Kinsale or in Cork, Bruce Springsteen was playing there, and I remember him talking about how amazing the venue was. Special place.
Yeah, yeah, it's an amazing place, and that was a really, really brilliant night on the tour. One of the best nights on the tour. So I'm glad that we were there. We recorded that one.
Yeah. Ah, yes, we could keep those tracks.
Yeah.
So what's it like after a Snow Patrol show now? Because you had Ed Sheeran, for instance, at one of the gigs in Belfast, I think you said.
In Dublin, yeah.
You're finding that guest list is getting quite heavy now. A lot of pressure.
Well, the guest list for Belfast, I think there was 200 people on the guest list. The guest list for Dublin was about the same, you know, so... And in Derry, Londonderry as well. It was pretty mad with all Johnny McDay's family and my family. My mum and dad are from up that way as well. So there's a lot of relatives up there. So yeah, the guest lists in Ireland are pretty big.
I bet they are. What's the one thing on the horizon for Snow Patrol in the next year that's really getting you excited? Is there something that just every now and again you think about and go, yes, that's the one?
We're touring soon, and I'm that's what I'm most looking forward to. I'm getting to do festivals for the first time in a long, long time this summer, and then, you know, getting on the road after that and playing some shows.
It's what you live for, Gary, isn't
it?
You love it when you're on stage, don't you?
Yeah.
You show off, you.
I'm a big show off, yeah.
Gary, it's phenomenal to see you. It's great to have you back. It's been a real pleasure to have you in this evening. Thanks for bringing your guitar as well. It's
very pleasure.
Good of you. You got time to give me a little lesson?
Yeah, sure. Like, have you got another guitar? It's going to be weird trying to do it with just the one guitar.
You know, just lean over my shoulders and help me out. Really,
it's going to be
way.
Like Ghost.
Gary Lightbody from Snow Patrol, it's been a real pleasure having him in tonight. Remember, John Kennedy will have a full album playback of Wildness as well. It's an ace album. Check it out. Gary, thank you very much.
Thank you, Gordon.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, I thought I'd share a little story that the good people of Radio X should hear. Caught my eye today, this. The latest Arctic Monkeys album has definitely caused serious debate. Everybody on social media, talking about it in the pub, wherever you are, big debate about it. I love it. I think fans are coming round now. It really is, in my opinion, absolutely brilliant. But here are some hard facts for you, so you can use this in your next argument about the album. Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino has become the fastest selling vinyl LP in the past 25 years. That's an incredible achievement. Liam Gallagher held the title for As You Were. I think he did something like 16,000 copies. But the Sixth Monkeys album went to number one in the UK charts this weekend. So that's a full house for the band as well. All six of their studio albums have now hit the top spot. So according official charts company, the great people over there, they said that this latest album sold 24,500 copies. That's pretty impressive in vinyl terms, and that'll make them a few quid as well. So at least 8,500 copies more than Liam Gallagher, who held the record. So you could get the black vinyl, but there was loads of other stuff as well. Gold, silver, there's even clear vinyl editions, but you could only get your hands on the gold stuff up at their pop-up shop in Sheffield. If you got a copy of that, I am in the market for it if you want to sell it to me. So anyway, if you're a doubter, stick those facts in your pipe and smoke it. You cannot argue with those sales. Another massive achievement for Arctic Monkeys.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Thank you very much for downloading the Evening Show podcast. I will be back with another edition next week. Please come and join me for that. If you feel generous, leave a little review and give us a big thumbs up. Tell all your friends, and I'll be eternally grateful.
Radio X.